Before we begin, let's take a moment to put our hands together to worship the Exalted One, the Unparalleled One, the Undefeated One, the Tathagata, by chanting Namaskara 3 times all together and with me.
Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas.
With permission from the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Mahasangha, let us begin. Today is a very special day, isn't it? Today is a very special day. And the funny thing is, for different people, it's different. According to your views, it's different. I don't know what you're thinking, but today's Dakkineyo. That's what makes today special. Or you could say, next week there's an ordination ceremony, so today is a week before, it's also very special. As well as, today is the 14th of February, which means Valentine's Day. I mean, it's very interesting, isn't it? That according to your views, a day will become special or not. And that view can change, you know, living in the monastery, today's a Dakkineyo day, which means it's very special. It's even more special because there's an ordination ceremony next week. But then there's another view on top of all of that, saying what? I mean, you can even combine views and say, well, today is Valentine Dakkineyo. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, this idea of special, this idea of different, the idea of, because technically, you know, these flowers, funnily enough, they're roses. These flowers, you know, a couple weeks back would cost one some amount. Today will cost way more. Because this idea of special. This idea of special. It's a feeling that, you know, our mind has. But, you know, if you really think about it, if you really looked at it, Valentine's Day, Dakkineyo Day, non-Dakkineyo Day, a normal day, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Friday, a Saturday, a Thursday, January, February, March, April, and so on and so forth. These are all just what? The same. See, we can even make it special. We can make tomorrow special as well. The day after Valentine's Day. We can make yesterday special as well. The day before Valentine's Day. But this is all in the mind. This is all put in the mind. And of course, Valentine's Day, you know, it's a day, you know, people come together to express their love to one another. Saying that one person's more special than another. One person's more unique than another. I mean, today morning, when someone reminded me today is the 14th of February, and today is Dakkineyo, as well as it's Valentine's, you know, something that you come to realize is how much a mind craves special. Because this idea, I mean, I'm not trying to simplify or, you know, reduce this concept of love, because, you know, that means lots of people will be very unhappy with this. But if you looked at it, this idea of wanting to love as well as receiving love is more of this idea of special, this feeling of special. Because as human, because not just humans, but any minds crave what? Crave to be loved, crave that feeling of love. Now, when we talk about love, this is not talking about, you know, relationships or and whatnot. You know, even the simplest, the smallest amount. Some way, if we were to feel special, we like that. The reason why you are friend with your friends is because that friend can make you feel what? Special. If they can make you feel really special, then they're no longer a friend, but a good friend or a best friend. I mean, think about it. Don't you like entering a room and having a person that you know say, "Oh, come here, and sit with me, sit next to me. You know, I saved you a seat." We enjoy that. Because what? Why? Because we feel what? Special. We feel that we are someone. In this world of nothing, we are something. And we love that feeling. We love that feeling so much. A person who can make you feel very special, you try to bring them closer so they can make you feel more special. That's why, you know, you like to be with friends or be with people that you know. That's why, you know, you like when people call you by your name. I mean, it becomes an issue in the monastery because we get more and more people and new faces every day. Like, I'm still trying to remember some names. I can't lie. But this feeling of when someone calls you by your name, you feel very special. Or, you know, in the monastery, as a monk, anagarika, I'm not sure about Siddha Shakshakas, but we get a number. That your number is supposed to be unique to you. So if someone can remember your number, you suddenly feel, wow, that person knows me so well, they know my number. They know my, you know, they know my unique number. And then you feel what? That person knows me. That person makes me feel what? Special. I like that person. That's why they say, try to, you know, whenever you talk to someone, try to remember and say, call them by their name. To make them feel what? Special. Now, knowing that, you know, knowing that when someone calls you by your name, you feel that they feel special. Or when you call someone by their name, that they feel special. You shouldn't feel special, but you do. If anyone can make you feel special, you automatically create a bond. If anyone can make you feel special, automatically you create a bond. I mean, if you think about it, say they're going to build a new shop in Sudhiminisugammane, Sudhiminis village. And every day there's a person in front of that shop, right? A very, let's say, very presentable, in a white kit that says, "Teruvan Sannai Mahatmi, Teruvan Sannai Mahatya, do you want to come inside?" If you feel that they're talking to you, and you alone, that makes you feel what? Special. And therefore you think, huh, well, you know they are, because you're trying to match them with who you are. And, you know, everyone who comes to the monastery is, of course, wearing white, very presentable. And they say, "Teruvan Sannai," and you think, ah, this is a good match. And then you think, ah, they make me feel what? Special. So when they say, you know, "We have a shop, do you want to come and see what's inside?" You think, of course. I mean, yeah, let's see. Because they're no longer a stranger. They're what? Someone who made you feel special. The mind craves that. The mind deeply craves that. The mind deeply craves that. This feeling of someone making you feel special. We give that many names. Some people call that friendship. Some people call that relationships. Some people call that love. Some people call that motherly love. Some people call that fatherly love. But all in all, it makes you feel what? Special. And that craving is what? Oppression side. The more you crave it, the more you will start to do things to receive. The more you crave, the more you will start to do things to receive it. For example, for someone to make you feel special, what do you have to do? Make them feel special. Therefore, you will use what? Your body, your speech, and your thoughts. To relieve yourself of this pressure, to make yourself feel what? Special. I mean, Valentine's Day is a day where people make themselves feel what? Special. Although it's supposed to be for another person, it's technically for yourself. Although we say it's for another person, it's technically for ourselves, for us to feel special. This is to an extent. Everyone has different preferences. However, in the same way, we all like to be what? Special. Different people will have different things. So if I was to make you feel special by making you come to the stage and, giving a speech, some of you think, okay, some of you may not like it. But you'll enjoy the fact that someone chose you. You may not like coming to the stage and saying, but someone chose you. Therefore, you feel what? Special. See, you have to see yourself fall into that trap. Because that's a trap that is deeply seated inside each and every one of us. Just look at who you associate. Most of us live and breathe in the monastery. Look at who you associate. Look at the five people who you associate. Each and every one of them make you feel special in some sort of way. There is something that makes you feel special. Maybe the way they smile at you makes you feel special. The way they talk makes you feel special. We don't like if someone is trying to attack us. Because why? That makes us feel not so special. However, can't someone attack you and still make you feel special? Of course. For example, I was talking with some of our 18 minuses the other day. And something that they say is that, sometimes they enjoy being taught off by their teachers. You may look at that and think, that's strange. Why would you want to be taught? Why would you be looking to be taught off? Because why? That makes them feel what? And cared. Someone cares. So they enjoy it. I don't know about you, but I enjoy when Guru Handru comes and scolds me. Because it makes me feel what? That Guru Handru cares. Something that Guru Handru has said, and not just Guru Handru has said, but our teachers say is, for example, Guru Handru won't scold everyone. He only scolds the people that he knows won't be affected. Affected in the sense that, they won't go start crying in the corner saying, Guru Handru, how did that mean? What am I going to do? I quit. So you feel that, okay, if Guru Handru scolds people that he knows won't be hurt, that means he's making me feel what? He's doing what? He's scolding me. That means I am what? One of those That means I am what? Special. See, knowing this, we know how to act. Knowing this, we know how to act. Meaning, whenever you meet someone, make them feel special. Like, you know, you may read in many books, you know, techniques. You know, I remember reading in a book, you know, when you meet someone, don't smile straight away. Wait a couple seconds and then smile. Why is that? Because then they feel that smile, they looked at me and then smiled. So that smile belongs to who? Me. But if he's always smiling, then, you know, that smile belongs to everyone. But if that smile belongs to me, I feel what? Special. See, we know how to act now. Because, you know, living in society, we know that minds crave this. That's why in the monastery, we treat everyone with utmost respect. Because we understand that every mind craves to be what? Special, craves to feel special. So that's what we do. While making you feel special, what do? Show you that what? That's a feeling. We show you what? That's a delusion. That's an illusion. There's no one there to be. There's nothing special there. That's why you know, it's almost become our monastery's brand. When someone comes in, the first words they hear is what? Tiruvan Saranai. Every single person they pass, you hear is what? Tiruvan Saranai, Tiruvan Saranai, Tiruvan Saranai. You know, coming from the every morning, you know, coming from the Dhamma hall to, sorry, coming from the Sanghavas to the Dhamma hall, like, the only words you get to hear in the morning is what? Tiruvan Saranai Pehandu, Tiruvan Saranai Pehandu. From that, coming from, you know, the Velimala to the Dhamma hall for Dhani, all you hear is what? I mean, we have our Anagarikas and our 12 plus Nobuhatians all lined up, and all you hear is what? One after each other say what? Tiruvan Saranai, Tiruvan Saranai, Tiruvan Saranai. You hear, you know, some of them even say, may the Noble Triple Gem bless you, may the Noble Triple Gem bless you. And that makes you feel what? They're saying that to who? Me. So make the people around you feel special. Make them feel special. Because that's what they crave. But understand that you yourself crave it. Find that and uproot it. Get rid of it. If you really look at it, if you actually look at it and see it in your life, you'll see that almost all of your action is because of that craving. Almost all. Every time you do something, majority of the time, I won't say every, I'll say majority of the time, is because you crave to be special. You crave that feeling of being special. Or you crave the feeling of love. So this is Valentine's Day, where people go around, you know, giving cards to another person, saying, be my Valentine. Receiving a card, thinking that that person sent me a card. Uproot that feeling. Uproot that craving. Because although society will put love to be such a brilliant and such a fantasy-like thing. You know, I don't need to tell you, you know, you've lived in the world longer than I have, and therefore you know more than I do, that how much this world shows, or how much this world shows, you know, love to be such a beautiful thing. But behind it all, the devil's there. The devil of what? Special. So this Valentine's, I mean, you know, try to see this. Try to catch yourself. When you're doing something to feel special, try to catch yourself. When you feel lonely, When you go to talk to someone, try to catch yourself and show yourself that, you know, you are right now going to a person to talk to them, not because of any other reason, but for you to feel what? Special. For you to feel like someone. You know, when you pick up the broom to start sweeping up an area, see if you're picking it up to feel like someone. That I am the one who swept the Dhamma hall. That's me. I am what? Special. Or let's say, you're in the kitchen and you are, say for example, today we have to make roti. Our world famous roti. And you're making this and you think, you know what, I'm the one who's flipping the roti, or I'm the one, you know, making it, rolling it out, or I'm the one who's mixing it together. And you know, then therefore these rotis are what? If I'm the one who made it, these rotis are what? Special. The question is, you know, if that roti is made by me, then this roti has to be special, and therefore, you know, today's Valentine's Day, so you shouldn't eat the roti, because these rotis are very special today, aren't they? I mean, you know, actually think about this. I mean, if the more you think about this, the more you realize how much you do in order to feel special, in order to feel like someone. See, you talk to people, you help another person. I mean, doing all that, I mean, I'm not putting it down. Of course you should help someone. You should help to the absolute maximum, but understand or try to at least see the special. So do a merit trying to see whether you feel special. You know, today I had the opportunity to say, scrape 100 coconuts. See if you still feel that I scraped 100 coconuts. That's me. I feel what? Special. While you're scraping the coconut, see if you feel special. Because if you do, understand that's ignorance at play. If you do, understand that's ignorance at play and attack. Give a full-scale attack. Show yourself what is truly happening. See, right now, if you think that, you know, I'm the one talking to you and I'm sat down listening. If you feel a modicum of special, attack. That I'm here, sat down, listening to him speak. If you feel that you feel special, attack. If you feel different to, if you feel different to this leaf, attack. Because you feel special. Because what is the difference between this leaf and you? Leaf is nature. You are nature. Both the same, but yet you feel special. Attack. I mean, if you think about it, you start to understand why people think, that I was talking to a person the other day and, their parents think they're crazy. Their parents think they're crazy. And I understand why. Because he says, I'm not special. Me and this leaf are the same. Parent looks at that and thinks, Buta, what's wrong with you? I mean, of course. Who wouldn't think you're crazy? If you say, me and this leaf, we are both the same. And, they'll put you into a mental ward if they could. Because the parents don't see that. So that's the thing, if at any moment you feel special, attack. Another way of saying if you feel special, if you feel jati, or if you feel me, then attack. Show yourself that it's not me, it's jati. Show yourself it's not me, it's jati, that this is a feeling. That special isn't me, that's a feeling. A feeling that's made due to ignorance and attachment. Due to ignorance and attachment, do you feel special? That feeling is a feeling, not anything else. Show yourself an attack. Don't give yourself an excuse. Don't let yourself go by just thinking it's normal. It's okay. I mean, society will say it's okay. I mean, society says not this. You know, in society, there's nothing wrong with Valentine's. You know, Valentine's dakine or whatever, even better. There's nothing wrong with it. However, there's everything wrong with it. You know, you've dug yourself into a hole and you're digging it even more deeper. See? Attack. I mean, that's the thing, you know, once you realize, this is why Guru Nanak will always say, once you understand this, apply, see it. Once you've understood, put it into practice and see it. Don't let the moment go by. That's why, you know, the Buddha even guarantees, if you see it, if you start to contemplate, and if you start to put into practice properly, from 7 days to 7 years, you will. He's guaranteed what? Minimum anagami. Minimum anagami. 7 days to 7 years. But the problem is, you know, for us to remember to practice is the problem. Because one moment you see this and you realize that this is not special. You know. The next moment you think what? I'm the one sweeping. You know, this is a game. The game of practice. Every time you remember to play, play. But the moment you hear something else, it's gone. You know, this is why, you know, attaining or understanding this is easy. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone can understand. I mean, those who have the merits, those who have the environment, those of you, those who have the association, understanding will happen. But the problem is not with understanding. The problem is with the application. The problem is with seeing. Seeing it through that lens. I mean, just because, you know, if you say that, you know, I live in the monastery, then one day I'll take Nibbana. Well, yes. Of course. So will the dog who lives in the monastery as well. One day they'll attain Nibbana as well. You know, when? You know, in another eons and eons, maybe. Same here. Being in the monastery means one day you'll attain Nibbana. Same as, you know, being on top of the Eiffel Tower, one day you'll attain Nibbana. There's no difference. The difference is with the environment and with your application. Difference with the environment and with your application. I mean, you can stay here trying to understand the Dhamma from start to end. Just understanding does nothing. That's the problem. Just understanding does nothing. Whether you're, you know, in the monastery understanding, or whether you're on top of the Eiffel Tower with your, you know, ears on, with a headset on, listening to the sermon, and you're still understanding, difference is the same. It's with the environment you're able to apply this, put it into your life. See, someone who has understood this has no other option but to apply. I mean, if you let's say you're eating your favorite dish, your favorite food. When you truly realize that, you know, a gecko has fallen into a gecko has fallen into the dish, and so it's not good to eat. The moment you realize it, do you think, you know, I'm going to still finish this? That's why if you understand this, if you truly understand this, you have no other option but to apply. If you realize you're eating fire, or if you realize, even better, even if you realize you're drinking salty water, which is making you more thirsty, the moment you realize, you won't think, I know I'm drinking salty water, but you know what, I still want to drink salty water. Salty water still, that's what I've been doing for most of my life, so I'm going to continue to do this. But no, if you understand it's salty water, then and there you'll stop. Then and there you'll try to do whatever you can to find a way to get rid of it, to find a way to get fresh water. Same with the understanding. If you truly understand, you have no other option. That's the thing. Use the Dhamma to checkmate yourself. Use the Dhamma to checkmate yourself, that you have no other option just to surrender. Surrender to what? Surrender to the truth. The actual understanding part is like playing a game of chess. You against the Buddha. You put your argument. The Buddha puts his argument of what? Anicca. You put your argument, the Buddha puts the argument of dukkha. You put your argument, and the Buddha puts his argument of what? Anatta. If any moment you look at the board, you realize you've checkmated. But we don't see the board. We just try to find out the next move you want to play. But you've already been checkmated. The only thing you have to do is realize that. You have to realize that, your king is trapped. The Buddha will never say it. The Buddha will never say, the knight, the prawn, and all this stuff are checkmated. No. You also have to see it. And you realize there's no other option. This is why, understand that if you truly understand, you have been checkmated. Then you have no need to keep going and keep playing. You surrender. I've been checkmated, I surrender. There's nothing else I can do. But to surrender to the truth, to see the truth. That's right, true contemplation is when you look through the lens of Dhamma, not when you think about Dhamma. True contemplation is not thinking of Dhamma. Thinking of Dhamma is you playing the game of chess. But real contemplation is when you surrender. When you start seeing life through the lens of the Dhamma. Seeing yourself to be what? Anicca. Seeing the world to be what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. Seeing nature to be what? Anicca, dukkha, anatta. That's true contemplation. Therefore, do you have to be sat down for that? Sat down, cross-legged, in an isolated area under a tree, right hand near left hand, back straight, eyes closed. No. Do you have to be walking to do that? No. Do you have to be, lying down for that? No. True contemplation can happen anywhere. You can do that anywhere. While sweeping. While, walking from one place to the other. While, doing whatever you're doing. Seeing life through the Dhamma. Seeing what is happening through the Dhamma. Through the lens. That everything's happening at what moment? This moment. That everything is happening at what moment? This moment. That's all we have to do. Because the moment you see it, the moment you understand that what? That the world around you is coming together at what moment? This moment. the mind arises at what moment? This moment. And if you feel self, that jati is arising. Arising in which moment? This moment. Once you realize these three things are arising in this moment, observer disappears. The feeling that I'm there disappears. The feeling of time disappears. Therefore, what's happening? Causes are aligning for the effect. And then, causes are aligning for the effect. All you have to do is try to see the world in that way. So last week, you know, or the week before, I can't remember when, but we talked about, you know, how everything is a manifestation at this moment. So when a light lights up here, and then here, and then here, every moment there's what? Just a manifestation in this moment. But you'll see that because of ignorance and attachment, it uses your memory to say that what? The light moved from one end to the other. That the light moved from one end to the other. And then back. But really all that's happening is what? At one moment, causes aligning for the light to be lit. The next moment, causes over here are aligned for what? The cause to be the light to be lit. There was no light that moved from one end to the other. And I wanted to, I think we have a video which I want you to look at it. I mean, most of you have seen it. But I want you to look at it and see it for what it truly is. Can we put it on the board? Can we pause it? No? Okay. At one moment, this is the effect. What's the effect? Causes come together to give rise to this effect. Can I have the next frame? Is that possible? Okay, so as we can see, all that's happening is what? One effect no longer arises. But does that mean the other effects were there the whole time? One ball, one purple dot, no longer arises. Does that mean the other dots were always there? They are arising at the same moment. They are arising at the same moment. Next frame. Now another one no longer arose. But the others were always there, right? I mean, only one of them extinguished. The others were always there, right? It's not that one of them, you know, one of them disappears and the others have been there and, you know, in turn the other one will disappear. No, at every moment, what's happening? Every moment, those ones that are there, at every moment, the causes are coming together for that to arise. But our minds, thanks to ignorance and attachments, sees what? That ball was there for the last 3 seconds, and then it disappears. And it's there for another 3 seconds, and then it disappears. And your mind gives a sense of time. And what's even better is, the moment you look at the X, what do you start to see? When you start looking at the X, what you start to see is what? In that empty space, there is a green spot. Where did that come from? Pause. Where's the green spot? Where's that green spot? Again, look in the middle X, and then you see. And if you keep looking at the X, at a moment, The purple starts to disappear, and what's left is what? A green spot moving. Now look it up, try to see this, because, you know, even though you understand, even though you realize that there are purple dots disappearing, or even though you understand that the purple dots no longer arise at the moment, what do you still see? If you're looking at the X, you'll still see the what? The green dot moving. See, when you understand the Dhamma, that doesn't mean that, you know, once you start understanding that the world, you see the world differently. No. Even though you know that one dot will no longer arise at a time. At a time? One dot will no longer arise at a time. Right? Next moment, which dot will disappear? Next moment, which dot will disappear? Next moment, the next moment, or see, we can't talk about, because when you say the next moment, what are we saying? That there is a future at play. Is there a next moment? Is there a next moment? What about the previous? You know, I mean, future is not there, but the past is there, right? Because you can remember that the other dot wasn't there. What is the past? What was the moment before? There is no moment before. All you have is this very moment, the moment the mind arises. See, the mind arises, perceiving this. Then it arises and pass. And then the next mind arises with another perception. And you perceive what? And the next ball has disappeared. What? And because of ignorance and attachment, you start giving it a time and saying that next, that ball will disappear. The moment after, that ball will disappear. And you're giving it a time thanks to what? Ignorance and attachment that gives rise to what? This feeling of time. But what is really happening? Causes are coming together at this moment. Causes are coming together at this moment. So, can you play? Causes are coming together at this moment. So, the moment this mind passes, what's there? That's interesting, isn't it? The moment this mind passes, what's there? The screen is still there, right? The moment this mind, the mind seeing this, what do you call it? It's called the lilac chaser. The moment the mind sees it, it arises, perceives, and passes. When it passes, what's still there? Elements, we'll say, are there. But this chaser thingy, is it there? Because, you know, because the perception of color happens, can only happen where? So if I was to ask TV, let's ask the TV. TV, can we pause? We ask the TV, TV, which purple dot is not there? What will the TV say? Purple dot? Purple dot? I don't know the purple dot. Then what's different? The TV will say, well, this bulb isn't, I have not given it the same supply as these bulbs. And that's all the only thing it will say, because it can only detect what? A TV is only sending a signal to its bulbs, right? LED or whatever this is, only sending a signal. But your mind says what? That is a ball. The TV has no idea. This is why, this is all your mind putting, your mind is connecting the dots here. Your mind is connecting these individual, discrete events and making it continuous. The mind arises with this. The next mind arises with the next one. The next mind arises with the next one. And the only thing at that moment is that. This is the mind frozen at a moment. The mind arises, the mind passes, then the next one. See, when I say see, you can't see it. Because play? You can't see it. See it meaning what you are seeing with ignorance and what you're seeing without ignorance are the same thing. What you are seeing with ignorance and what you are seeing without ignorance are the same thing. The difference is what? Difference is with your what? Not perception, but with what? The feeling behind it. You feel what? After a while, there's a lilac, there's this green ball that's going round, and then the purple ones disappear. There's the lilac balls, that one of the lilac balls are disappearing, and in its space, there's a green one, and that green one keeps going, and the lilac ones all disappear. If you were to ask an Arahatanvansi to look at this, what would he say? What would he or she say? I see a green ball going round. Same thing. He would say what? One of these lilac balls are disappearing. Same thing. But what doesn't he feel? He doesn't feel that time that, you know, this one led to this one. And he will not feel this fixed, special feeling. Because there is no green dot. But there is a purple dot. There is no green dot, I understand. But there is a purple dot. No, both of those are what? Perceptions in the mind. So it would be wrong for me to say that there is a green dot. And though it's also wrong to say that there is no green dot. Because when a mind perceives, the mind perceives. That's not wrong. Is it wrong? Perceiving the green dot, is it wrong? Is perceiving the green dot wrong? It can't be wrong, because why? Perceiving the green dot is what? When the causes come together, there's an effect. The effect is you perceiving a green dot. But pause. But the green dot's not there. Where is the green dot? So my perception is wrong. Well, there was no purple dot there either. The purple dot is also what? A perception. If you wanted, you could change that. For example, the purple that all of us see is different. How do you know that we're seeing the same purple? How do you know we're seeing the same purple? You know, we can almost guarantee that the purple I see and the purple you see are not the same. This is the perception in your mind. Your mind is perceiving. The mind arises, the mind passes. The next mind arises, the next mind passes. Next mind? The next mind arises and passes. Next mind, right? So the mind after this. This is why, you know, you know, language will always include what? Time. Because language was made through ignorance. But all you have is what? This moment. All you can ever have is what? This moment. So, okay, we look at this now and we look away. You look at this and look away. Is the ball still on the screen? When you look away, is the ball still on the screen? Alright. Can we turn the screen off for a bit? There we go. Alright, so. Can we have it back on? Could you put it back on? Right, it's there. Okay, now everyone look away from the screen. Off. Is it still there? If you're not looking at it, is it still there? Well, you don't know. Because why? Because those balls, back on. Those balls are what? A perception. So right now, the person behind you, right now the person behind you, are they there? Right now, is the person behind you? Is there a person behind you? Not until when? Not until you perceive. But does that mean there is nothing behind you? No, there is something. There is matter. There is energy. Condensed energy and energy in general is there. But the person behind you? They're not there until you perceive. So have you been here for the last couple hours? How long have you been here? You know, some of you have been here in the monastery for, 5, 6, 7 years, right? And hopefully we'll be there for the next 5, 6, 7 years. Right? How long have you been in the monastery? How do you know you're in the monastery? You know you're in the monastery the moment you perceive. The mind perceives, it rises, it passes. Next moment, you're newly in the monastery again. So let's say that there is some rotting food somewhere. Let's say someone's left a plate of food in the Dhamma hall for the last week, and it's a plate of rotting food. How long has that plate been there? For a week. I mean, it's been there for a week, therefore it rotted, right? If it wasn't there for that week, would it have rotted? That plate was there for a week, therefore it's rotting. Right? When the causes come together at this moment, do you perceive what? The rotting dish. You come back tomorrow, it's still there. Is it still there? Is it still there? It happens. Which moment? This moment. Every time you perceive it, it's there. When you're no longer perceiving it, energy is there. Condensed energy is there. But the rotting food, that is only in that moment. So what should we do? We should leave it there, right? Because it's been there for how long? It's been there for a moment. It's okay. Let's leave it for another. This is why you have to understand. This is feeling versus society. We have to understand. I mean, there's nothing When we see rotting food, we feel automatically, we feel repulsed. We think, what, this is rotting food, there's maggots on it, it's got this, become furry or whatnot. And you feel, ultimately you feel repulsed because you think that that is what? That is a fixed thing and it's disgusting. It used to be like this, now it's like this. And you created this timeline, this feeling of time. But in reality, it's only been there for a moment. But society-wise, in society says what? This plate shouldn't be there. So what should you do? Remove it. For example, let's say you're working in the kitchen, in the monastery kitchen, and you're asked to take out the bins. And when you pick the bin up, you can see the rubbish juice come out. Yeah. I have to carry this all the way there and get this juice all over my hands or, all over my clothes. Do you? What's really happening? This moment rises, then passes. Next moment rises, then passes. This juice is what? Yeah. What part of this is ear? What part of that juice is disgusting? What is the difference between mango juice and rotten mango juice? Oh, no. What's the difference between mango juice and juice from a rotting mango? What is the difference between mango juice and juice from a rotting mango? One of them is juice, one of them is rotting. No, they're both what? Liquid form of what? Of a mango. But in our minds, we create this idea that this is good, this is bad. This is okay, this is disgusting. This is why, all we have to do is we have to live in this moment. We have to see everything arise at this moment. Today is Dakineyo. That arose in which moment? This moment. You have to, you suddenly get the idea that I have to, put out the parvad, the carpet. That happens at which moment? This moment. But that's talking about the future. No, it's talking about this moment. There's an idea that happened in this moment. Something that has to happen at which moment? Some moment. Not in the future, some moment. But then you can say, well, I have to be, in the Dhamma hall by 9. I have to be in the Dhamma hall by 9. So time has to be there, right? Does the clock work due to time? Does the clock work due to time? But if all clocks work due to time, then why do some clocks don't, some clocks stop? Is that because it become akalika, it's been stopped because there's no time? No, clocks work because of what reason? Causes come together to give rise to a moment. Then, the next. Then, the next. Then, next. Then, next. Then, next. 9 o'clock is just a concept that we've made. When the long hand hits 12 and the short hand's towards 9, we say that's 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, or when 9 o'clock event happens, then in the 2D way you say, I have to be in where? Dhamma hall. But in reality, when this event happens, that event has to happen. This event and that event, are they the same? Are they happening at this? Are they linked? Two different events. But you create this link and say, at 9 o'clock, I have to be here. But then at 10 o'clock, I have to be by the gate. Again, when 10 o'clock event happens, because this is one event, when 10 o'clock event happens, This has to be where? At the Dhamma hall, or at the gate. These are two separate events, but we connect them and say, you know, at 10 o'clock I have to be this, at 9 o'clock I have to be this, and you're planning that at this moment. You're planning that at this moment. See, everything is happening at which moment? This moment. This clock works not because of time. This clock works due to its causes. This clock doesn't show time. That's why, you know, I remember this, something that my parents used to do is used to put back the time. So if it's 9 o'clock, or before the time. When, if it's 9 o'clock, they change the clock to be 9:15. So we can always be 15 minutes early. However, it doesn't ever work because you know it's 15 minutes early, so you leave the house 15 minutes later. Clocks don't show time. Clocks show an event. A clock doesn't show time. A clock shows what? An event. Does this mean it's 9 o'clock? Does this mean it's 9 o'clock? This means what? The event, an event is happening. And that event, this mind perceives to be what? This event is perceived to be 9. Does it mean it's 9 o'clock? No. It's a separate event. It's not showing time, but an event. I can easily just do this and write what? It's now what? 4. Another event. Another manifestation. And that manifestation happens at what time? This manifestation has to always happen at what time? At 4 o'clock. It happens when the causes come together. Or even better, it happens now. So, you know, look at how you spend your day. How do you spend a day? Can you spend a day? Look at how you spend your day. Can you spend a day? No, you can only spend a moment. You can only spend a moment at a time. So, you know, if you think that, you know, I spend 5 hours doing this, did you? No, you spend just a moment. But you can say, well, the clock was at 4 in the beginning, and then now it's 9. Therefore, 9 take away 4, I've been there for 5 hours. Is it so? Is that so? No. When you looked at the clock first, the event was 4. Now you look at the clock again, now the event is 9. 5 hours didn't pass, just 2 events. Two separate, two discrete, two different events at play. So what's the difference between 9 and 9:01? What's the difference? Nine one is the next moment. From 9, it was 9 o'clock, now it's 9:01. The next moment. It is a manifestation. That happens this moment. And this is why, you know, we have to really, really put this into our lives. You know, this is the concept of, you know, this feeling of time. Comes from where? Ignorance and attachment. This feeling of, you know, 4 o'clock is different to 9 o'clock is because of what? Ignorance and attachment. Well, you can say, well, at 4 o'clock the sun's not out, at 6 o'clock the sun is out. Those are two separate events. The sun doesn't rise according to a clock. The sun does not have a clock. Well, technically, the sun doesn't rise. What happens? Causes come together to make an effect. Or the world rotates and you say, oh, the sun is risen. You know, it's very funny because people used to think that, you know, the world used to be the center of the universe. I agree. The world is the center of the universe. I'll even say it better. You're the center of the universe. Because everything happens according to what? According to your perception. Everything's happening according to your perception. Not anything else. If you perceive the sun is risen, then the sun has risen. Have you never, or you know how sometimes we have overnight events? You know, we have overnight pirit chanting and all these events. You know how sometimes you have to, you don't go sleep for a long time, and then, finally when you get home, you sleep. And then you wake up and, sometimes the sun's not out, and you think, oh, I've only slept for a couple hours. You look and you think, oh, I slept for a whole day. Never happened? Where, the time, where you sense the time to be one thing, but when you look at it, it's different. The sun's still not out. You thought it's because it's early in the morning, but actually it's late in the afternoon. Because the world will always work the way you perceive it. That's why, the mind perceives, that's the world. When the mind perceives, that's the world. That's your world at which moment? At this moment. There is no moment before or after. Only this moment. So, today is Valentine's. At which moment? Today is Valentine's. At which moment? In the morning? At 12? At 6? What time? In this moment. When you remember, it's Valentine's. When you don't remember, it's not. When you remember, it's Dakine, it's Dakine. When it's not, it's not. When you remember that you have to do something, you have to do something. When you don't, you don't. Because all that's happening is causes are coming together at this moment to give this effect. Think about it and try to see it. Think about it and then try to see it. Try to see, every time you're walking, try to see it. What is walking? Something's happening at this moment. But you can say, well, I am walking. It's something that's continuously happening. No, it's not. It's happening at this moment. This moment, a different, and then the next moment, another effect. The next moment, another effect. Walking isn't something that continuously happens. Walking is happening at one moment, one chitta at a time. Technically, the chitta doesn't know it's walking. Or the body doesn't know it's walking. The body knows what? This moment, this effect. This moment, that effect. This moment, that effect. And then it comes together and says, what? I was walking. I was walking. So come and try to see it. Try to live life seeing this momentary nature of the world. Not a continuous, but a discrete, momentary thing. Because nothing here has been here for time, for a certain period of time. Everything here is here for how long? For a moment. For how long? A chitta. It rises, it passes, that's it. Try to see it. And before we conclude, of course, I have to remind you that next week there will not be an English sermon, because next week we have an ordination ceremony, which of course every single one of you is invited. I think we have 13 of our eldest, most senior Anagarikas going forth to become monks. And, you know, because if you really think about this, monkhood is what? What is monkhood? So to next week, they're going to become monks. So what does it mean to become a monk? They get a bald head and a robe. Is that monkhood? This is why, you know, appearance is one thing. Appearance is basically just a stimulus to remind you. But all of you, you can also have what? The mindset. Because monkhood is not a appearance. Monkhood is a mindset. So actually, when you witness the ordination ceremony, at that moment you yourself ordain. Meaning what? When they say sabba dukkha nisaran, you think to get rid of this dukkha. Let me strive to get rid of this dukkha. Or I mean, let me strive to get rid of what? This ignorance and attachment. Let me use this environment. The past is in the past. There is no such thing as a past. From this moment onwards? No, from this moment. Let me do the maximum I possibly can. You yourself ordain. Ordain in that moment. Trust me. Give yourself the environment to practice. The more you practice, the further you go. The further you go, the less ignorance and attachment there is. And then, one day the mind will arise with what? No ignorance. And that effect we call what? Arahat nuvanse. Or arahat mahin nuvanse. So, you know, next week, the ordination ceremony, please do come and give your absolute maximum blessing. Give your blessings from the bottom of your heart to the 13 individuals. And not just that, but you yourself at that moment ordain. Make the determination, may I live an ordained life. May I have this ordained mindset, this monk mindset. And with this mindset, may I attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Have that determination. Let that determination drive you. Let that determination drive you to do what is needed. Because remember, your mind works according to your views. Ideas come according to your views. For example, today is the Valentine Dakshina. That idea came due to what? Views. So make the determination and let that drive you. Let it take you on the journey to accumulate the causes for the effect. Okay. And let's take a few moments to transfer merits and conclude today's session. Let's take a moment to transfer the merits required by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed down to a generation of noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to be required to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chief prelates of all chapters who dedicate their lives to no path and committed themselves to betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget among them will be the monks and nuns, residing in local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side, through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to chant some prayers to Guru Swami Nanse, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as the anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to chant some prayers and express our gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be there by transliterating sermons, sharing them with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to acquire to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continues to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha shelter, arms, robes, and medicines, as well as those who pass on their know-how and their well wishes. May the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, and nieces, our elders, friends, and acquaintances, employees, and to all those who have helped us, support us, assist us in shape or form. By the power of the merits, may they be healed in physical and mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primary sakadevas, numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambhana Sasana. Let's not forget among them will be our garden deities who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from our meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds. Fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits we require to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that have been friends of family to us in this long journey to Sansara. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all that have helped us, support, assist us in shape or form. As well as the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force who sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation, may all those lost lives in the war be the friend of her, rejoicing in the merits we require today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those lost lives in calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this even long journey in Sansara. May they, by the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woof of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the bliss of plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and the blessing of all the merits acquired throughout the day. We've been a witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arad Mahinwanses in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Aridhanwanse or an Arad Mahinwanse in this very life in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Chapachan be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings. Raga ginnin midetnva Dvesha ginnin midetnva Moha ginnin midetnva Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Mamada siyalu loka siyalu satnvayo Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva Nibhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravitnva
Raga ghini niveva, dvesha ghini niveva, moha ghini niveva, nivan sapa labeva, nivan sapa labeva. Nivan sap labeva.
Tunrange Suvisananda Mahaguna Belen Siloka Sil Satyoma Nibbana Paramasukin Sukata Vitta.